When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. I'm your host, Joe River, joined today by two weary but happy gentlemen. Paul Gorst, how are you?
Yeah, that's a good way of summing it up. Very tired, but happy to come on and talk to events at Wembley yesterday, because it was a great day had by all, and we'll get involved.
2:30 a.m. we got back last night, Ian Doyle, but it was worth it, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, I got back at 1:40, obviously, because I live nearer. Yeah. Although, to be fair, I did do all the driving, so there is that.
Yeah, tell us your fact about service stations that you were so keen to get.
I wasn't so keen. I've just noticed that over my years of travelling around is that...
Oh, so it's not a fact, it's just...
If somebody wants to point this out, services, if there's a KFC, there tends to be a Burger King there, but there's never a McDonald's there as well. It tends to be either a McDonald's or Burger King and KFC.
There's some facts.
Check it out now, folks.
You learn something new every day on the Blood Red Podcast, and that's one of them. Best services, obviously, T-Bay.
Yep.
If anyone wants to argue with that, come at me in the comments. You're wrong. And
That's something that we all agree on, isn't it? T-Bay is the best services.
T-Bay is the best services. That's the end of it. But the start of it is, I've waited a long time to do this. Paul Gorse today went and got me 3 cold cans of Carabao, and we are going to open them and toast this victory.
Are we doing that now?
We're on the hunt for Carabao Silver.
We are. Hold it near the microphone so that the people listening who aren't watching this on... Oh, hang on.
I've done it now.
You've gone. That was the sound for the listeners, because we do have people watching, of us opening 3 mixed berry cans of Carabao. What a way to taste... The toast.
To taste. Even that works as well.
The lovely drop of Carabao. Free advertising for the energy drink.
But I don't care.
It's not really, is it? Because you tried to do this last week and they sent us nothing, and so you're about to go out and buy it.
I bought my own, but that's my commitment to the Carabao cause, so hopefully they'll see this.
What flavour is it? Mixed berry?
Mixed berry, yeah.
Not coconut.
Yeah, mixed berry is excellent. 63 calories a can. Everyone's a winner. So there you go. That's it. Well, I wanted to just stone cold Steve Austin this podcast with 2 cans of Carabao on the table, and then that'll be the end of it.
They even just let you know at the bottom, just to sponsor the Carabao.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube or on Facebook, send in a question. I'm going to keep an eye on the questions on YouTube, and our producer Ian will keep an eye on Facebook.
So, I'm actually delighted for now that we're talking. This is a podcast about Liverpool being the Carabao Cup winners. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is a vindication for me and you, because me and you have talked up the Carabao Cup in the dark and lonely months of the autumn and the winter, when it's 3rd round, 4th round. And
best competition in world football.
Me and Doyle are going to Bournemouth and facing the elements of the storms. And I feel like it's a proud day, this, to be fair.
It's a proud day. All I've said all along is
there we go.
It's so much fun. It is such a fun competition. No cliches, just Carabao and grip tops.
That could be like a little
No
cliches, just Carabao. So it's great fun, and who can argue with me anymore? I'm right, and that's the end of it. TV services and the Carabao. come at me in the comments.
Can I just come at you now and just say the FA Cup is still better than the League Cup? It's not.
How can you say that whilst drinking? I'll take that off you. Right, anyway.
I'll give you this if you get through that.
Sensible report. I'll get through that, no problem. I won't sleep for the next week. But who needs sleep?
Never slept last night, either.
If you've got any questions, drop them in the comments. We'll try and get round to them. Please give us a like, subscribe if you're listening on a podcast.
Press
the bell to subscribe on YouTube. If you listen on a podcast, give us a review, give us some star ratings. I'm not going to tell you to give us 5, but that would be nice. Give us 10 League Cups out of 10, if you can do. But yeah, give us a rating. We really love your support, and thank you so much. Wherever you are in the world, let's just remind the Australians that we love them. Let's remind the Irish people that we love them as well. I don't care where you are, we love you for listening, so thank you so much. Let's start with Paul. Jürgen Klopp is a good manager.
Yes, yeah, one of the best, one of the absolute best. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think we spoke about it on Friday, didn't we? That Klopp is not a manager who's coaching for his legacy anymore. It's the final months of his Liverpool tenure that's already been proven and established and one of the greatest of all time at Liverpool. So he's playing just to kind of add to what he's already done in terms of when, you know, one day when he's a pundit on Sky Sports or whatever it may be, it just flashes up underneath 8 major honours with Liverpool or whatever. He's just trying to add to that now, essentially, isn't he? Because the standing can't go any higher in Liverpool supporters' eyes, I don't think. Unless he wins it all and he walks away as a quadruple winner. But, I mean, supporters of other clubs might scoff and deride it and just, it was only the League Cup. It's, you know, the fourth in the list of priorities and whatever else. But try telling that to anyone who was there yesterday or anyone who watched it as a Liverpool, you know, through Liverpool eyes. It was just an unbelievable day. And, achieved in a pretty weird and wonderful way, wasn't it? Just unbelievable, really was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never having that, the whole, like, you know, dismiss a trophy. I mean, our producer Ian's looking directly into my eyes as I say this, but ask any club that has gone a long time without a trophy and, you know, they give anything for one. We should never take it for granted. It's incredible to go and experience. And football's about the journey, and the journey that Liverpool have been on since Klopp is, you know, really unrivaled, isn't it, really? So, you know, those dramatic moments, that's what winning trophies is all about. So, yeah,
I think a lot of people miss that point as well, don't they? Yeah. Particularly online, where it's just point score and just descends into nonsense.
It's very silly. Ian Doyle, often you are... we read the comments. But often you are a grumpy member of the panel. I think that's fair to say.
I think it's more fair to say realistic member of the panel.
You like to think you're realistic, but
the lovable grump.
You are lovable grump.
Grump.
But scratch beneath the surface, and there's a very passionate journalist and someone who's followed Liverpool around the country for a very, very, very long time.
Yes, 41 years.
And I think that perhaps you sort of put your guard up sometimes, but sometimes you drop it. And I think last night, Corsi and I noticed that you dropped it. You enjoyed that one yesterday. So this was your suggestion.
Yes.
So where does it rank in your top 5 best Liverpool moments that you were present for, and why?
In the 41 years, I would say probably third. Third behind Istanbul and beating Barcelona 4-0.
Really?
Yeah. And probably in that top 5... you'd have beaten Chelsea 1-0 in the semi-final in 2005, and then I'd have to think on the probably winning the league in 2020, to be honest. I think that they'd be the 5.
Yeah.
But in terms of actually being proud of the players, I know it sounds a bit of a stupid thing to say, but anyone who's covered a team, no matter whether you support them or not, you end up getting to know some of the players. You know, it's a lot harder now than it was in the old days, but with the academy players, you get to see them develop and you see them play the under-18s or under-21s. With the Barcelona game in 2019, the semi-final, and the game yesterday, it's the most proud I've felt of them. And Klopp said that afterwards, didn't he? He's like, I'm proud of this, that, and the other. And Adrian said the same thing. He's incredibly proud. And I think Jota said exactly the same thing. Also, and those two didn't play. One of them was injured. So that shows you that how together that the squad are. But also, I think you're kind of rooting for them. And I think... If ever like a team like Liverpool or United or Arsenal or Man City are playing, there's never really any neutrals, if we're being honest. You're always supporting one team or the other. Yeah. But if you were a neutral, I think you kind of could see that, you know, Liverpool's win was against the odds. If it can be against the odds, if you're a team who are top of the Premier League by points, you know, and in the last 16 of the Europa League, it's not as if like the paupers in that or the massive underdogs. But the situation was obviously that they ended, they started the game with 11 players unfit, senior players, seven of which would have probably started. And then within 25 minutes, another one goes. And then after an hour, they have the, you know, the controversial incidents of the disallowed goal. And then before the end of the game, you suddenly realise, hang on, these players are absolutely shattered and they're having to get subbed and you're throwing on 18 and 19-year-olds. And everything was kind of set up for them to fail. And they would have had so many excuses to say, oh, didn't you ever give it a really good go and you got beat, you know, it's one of those. But because they'd put in all that effort getting to the final with winning those games, such as Bournemouth in the Storm and you know, they absolutely tonked West Ham and they came through a tough one against Fulham where they were behind. They didn't play particularly well in the first leg for the first hour, but they managed to find a way of getting through that one. I think, but the first half an hour of the game against Chelsea, we were like, we couldn't believe how bad Chelsea were.
Yeah.
They were poor. They were poor. They looked like a team. You said it, didn't you? They looked like a collection of players and Liverpool looked like an actual team. And
yeah, I think that, it's the way they have been all season, isn't it?
I think that was the difference for that. Towards the end of the 90 minutes, though, you saw Chelsea were able to bring in a bit more experience from the bench and they gave it a go in that last 10 minutes. And that's when Kelleher makes a great save from Gallagher. Yeah. Then there's that kind of mad scramble where he makes another save and the rest of the defence get it clear. And then extra time. And Pochettino said this after the game. He said that his players looked like they were playing for penalties. There was only Liverpool that were going for it. And they had James McConnell playing, who'd only played three or four times before. And he'd only started one game. Bobby Clark came on and he was brilliant. Anybody who's seen him play at the academy, we've said this before on the podcast recently, wasn't it? There was one player, I said Bobby Clark, and everybody else now has seen that across the world, see what a player he's going to end up being. Jadon Dance comes on. Imagine if you're him and you get told at the start of this month, February, still this month, right, we've still got a few days to go in it. He says, right, Jade. He says, I know you've only just started playing for the under-21s, but you're going to get about 10 minutes in front of the cop in which you'll help set up a goal. Then a couple of days later, you're going to be playing the best part of 40 minutes in a League Cup final in which you'll make the keeper make two really good saves, good save, and you'll get yourself a winner's medal. Yeah. You'll be like, what? Yeah. You know, but that shows you how quickly things can change in football. And going back to my original point is just the pride that you felt for all of them, but for all the people you know at the academy who've done all the work to help these players through, for the you know, the coaching staff, the first team coaching staff, and also for all the senior players who weren't playing. Everybody's seen the clips of the celebrating after the game or when the goal goes in. So, well, certainly see it after the game, but when the goal goes in, even the injured players, what was it, Nunes and Szoboszlai, and you see Curtis Jones desperately trying to get down. They were just all wanted to get involved because they knew, well, they also knew they were probably going to get a medal as well, but they knew that we associated with this, but they also knew what it meant to those players, because every single one of those players has been that player when they were coming through, and they were thinking, this must be amazing for them, and the fact that they deserved it as well. And that's the other thing. It wasn't like a lucky win. I know Chelsea had the chances, and as I mentioned before, Kelleher made three or four very good saves, but Chelsea at the post. But Liverpool were the better team, with the exception of like two 10, 15-minute spells, and as I said before, in extra time, the only one that looks like they were going to win it, and then they got the goal through Van Dijk, who I think for all of that talk of all the youngsters, I thought he was the best player on the pitch. The best player on the pitch defensively. And then when he was needed at the other end, you know, he scored the goal, which was disallowed. I'm sure we don't need to get into that. But then he's a cracking header for the goal. And then the other, one of the more experienced players who comes off the bench, Tsimikas, he puts the cross in as well. So it was,
I thought he was great.
It was a proud moment because all of them contributed. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a Liverpool success, a final like that, and a success where every single person involved in the club can go, well, I actually did a bit towards that.
Yeah. They're getting so much out of the squad, aren't they? And they have to, really, because of the amount of players they've got injured. Yeah. You know, it's not only Gravenberch now, he was injury number 12, but Wataru Endo walked out of Wembley in a cast and on crutches. So he's number 13, and neither of them are going to be involved on Wednesday, I'd imagine. But just everyone is contributing or has contributed. And even, you know, you look at it now and Tsimikas, perfect example. He came in and he was outstanding while Robertson was out injured, wasn't he? And then he gets injured himself, comes back in, really good off the bench yesterday, gets the assist, keeps Madueke quiet for when he was involved. And just to a man, everyone has contributed, haven't he? And I suppose the Carabao Cup campaign kind of sums up that entire season, really, doesn't it? Everyone who's been asked to step up has done exactly that. And it's him. In the case of Jaden Danz in particular, like Dodi says, you know, he's playing 18s football, now he's up 21s, and now he's probably going to start Wednesday. And what a rise it's been for him. And he walked through the mix zone yesterday, and he walked through looking like, you know, a player who just won the League Cup with his medal around his neck. And then you ask him to stop for 2 minutes, and all of a sudden you can see why he's an 18-year-old kid, and he is literally still a boy, because he kind of sheepishly said no, but it was like very awkward and embarrassed. And it's just like, these lads are boys, you know, still kids. James McConnell just looks about 14 in the face, doesn't he?
He does look young, yeah.
And these lads who are going toe-to-toe with the squad who have been, you know, assembled at the cost of £1 billion, and they come out on top. And, you know, everyone should just be so proud of their efforts this morning. And really, you know, it speaks to Klopp's faith and trust in these young players. It's something that he talks about a lot, and something that Pep Linders particularly talks about a lot. But it's one thing saying it and another thing doing it, isn't it? And Klopp, yeah. You know, Klopp got laughed at when he did it at Arsenal. It was kind of like bringing on Bobby Clark and McConnell. It was like, oh, well, he doesn't fancy a replay here. But he's got no qualms doing it there, and he's got no qualms doing it in the final.
Yeah.
Okay, his hand was forced to an extent with the injuries, but you know, he threw them on, and he didn't let them down, did he?
I think it was a win that wasn't just, you know, a few weeks in the making, or a few this season in the making. That's for the full 8.5 years of Klopp being there.
Yeah.
The influence that he's had from top to bottom on the club, and, you know, the way that he has brought the kids through, the way that, you know, FSG, I'm assuming from his suggestion, they moved the training ground, they put the training ground all on one base and put the under-23s, now the under-21s there. So they see them all the time. And that's what was quite interesting, is that he mentioned it afterwards, didn't he? He said they knew the jobs that they had to do. It's not as if they were just throwing somebody on saying, right, go and just do this. They knew exactly what they had to do, because they've been training for that.
Yeah.
For not just this week, but for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, some of them all season. I mean, I know Kumas didn't get on, but he was with them in the summer. Quanta was there. Yeah. I mean, he came on second half in extra time, and what was his first touch? He just had to do a little turn away from him. It's like, good start.
You forget about Kwanzaa and Bradley. Yeah. You know, all the talk is on Danz and McConnell and Clark, and that makes it a bit more pronounced to what you're looking at in terms of, you know, a load of academy lads playing for you in the final. But throw in Kelleher as well, and maybe you can make the case for Elliot. That's 7 or 8 academy players who've come through that team and won the cup for Liverpool.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
You look at Quanta came on there at the end, and we've watched him all season, and he's barely put a foot wrong all season, hasn't he? He looks a real prospect. Chelsea spent almost 40 million on De Sassi, who you could call it a disaster. But yeah, I mean,
that's absolutely appalling.
I couldn't help it. But
have you, how long have you been thinking of that, or waiting for that?
That just popped into my head.
Are you sure?
This one, obviously, this
is having an effect already.
Yeah, a couple of, we're getting a few questions in. We will get to injuries and lineups, David. Thanks for your questions. We will get to them.
Hurry up.
Get on with it.
That was yesterday. Come on, let's look forward.
Stephen says hello from Los Angeles. Hello. Yeah.
Hello, Stephen. Hello,
yeah. How's your American accent?
Yeah. Mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have one. I'm not really one for accents. But top five. I wanted to carry on with the top five theme very quickly. So top five games that you've been at then?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit different to Doyle in terms of the amount of games that I've been to. I never really went to match before I was a Echo football reporter. I obviously went to certain games ad hoc, but nowhere near as many as Doyle. So in terms of doing this job, Curtis Jones winning the derby was a big one, wasn't it?
That was a really fun one. Yeah.
Aston Villa away, 2019. That was one of the ones that's seen as a big moment in the step towards that title. Obviously, lifting the Premier League will be number one. I put yesterday number two. Trying to think of, I mean, the cup wins of 2022, obviously, we're still basking in the glow of yesterday, but they didn't seem anywhere near as...
Yeah, you enjoyed them.
Significant.
You enjoyed them.
Yeah.
It's because it was, you know, they weren't quite as against the, you know, Liverpool were going for a quadruple, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
There's personal reasons as well, do you, for some of them.
Yeah, I mean, I always loved Boxing Day when they went to Leicester and won 4-0, and everyone was panicking, thinking they've just come back from the Club World Cup, and they absolutely blitzed them with the performance of the season. Beat City 3-2 that season? 3-1. So there's a few, but, you know, the Cup wins of 2022 might be doing them a little bit of a disservice, but they don't jump out at me. No. I had to think about them then. They were a little bit of an afterthought.
Yeah.
But yesterday will be up there behind the Premier League win as 1 and 2.
Yeah.
What about you, Joseph?
I would put yesterday might be 2. I'd probably put 1 as I didn't get to Istanbul. Sociology A level on the day. Got an A, so every cloud. But
What have you taken from that A level then?
Sociology.
Did what? Yeah. I can't
remember the first.
What are you learning?
I don't know. But anyway, missed Istanbul. So Chelsea, 05.
Yep.
That was an incredible atmosphere. So I'd probably go with that number one. Number two, yesterday. Number three, for some personal reasons, the League Cup final in 2003, very on brand. Loved that day. My dad and my brother, so that one goes in there. I'd probably throw in, obviously I was working here for Barcelona, so I wasn't there. I'd probably throw in 2012, Everton, Andy Carroll.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
Did you go to Dortmund at 4-3?
No, I was sick.
But yeah,
I was sick.
Ruled out through illness.
So very sick. Do you know what was a really good one, but kind of retrospectively you might not include, was the 3-2 over Man City in 2014.
We
go again game. Mm-hmm. That at the time was very, very good.
I just remember that as the James Milner comes on at half time and absolutely destroys Liverpool game.
10 years ago that next month.
But they were very good. Have I got 5 there? No, I think I've got 4 with that Man City one with an asterisk. Because
Chelsea 2007, were you there for that?
Yeah, I was there for that. Enjoyed that one.
That was definitely top 10.
Juventus as well. Juventus would be in top 10, the 2-1. Inter Milan was good. Inter Milan. I mean, we could be here all day, couldn't we? But I've got 4. I've got 4 in a rotating cast.
Well, yesterday's result was
the point. Yeah, that's the point, isn't it?
It was unique, wasn't it, in terms of, wasn't your big stars winning the cup final. It was loads of academy. Let's be frank about it. There would have been so many Liverpool fans who couldn't pick Jadon Dans out of a lineup last week.
Oh.
And there he is, you know, cutting about the front trying to.
You don't think you're going to not recognise him now?
And there's that graphic going round of Neil Dans was what when Everton left
13.
The trophy.
That was unnecessary.
So we'll,
they've had a small victory for themselves today.
Where we go, we're going to go through. So we were thinking about what to do before this podcast because to try and we did the post match pod yesterday.
Trying to differentiate it from other pods.
And to be honest, there's so much happened in that game that I think it was quite difficult to just sort of condense it down into some coherent thoughts. So I thought we'll go through every player. You do the player ratings here, so we can go through each one because I think every player deserves a special mention. So we'll start with Cueven Kelleher, who is, to me, probably after Alisson, the coolest man on Merseyside because he just seems to be totally unflappable.
Yeah, and it seems to be the more he's playing, the better he's getting. Obviously, his Liverpool career has been a lot of here, there and everywhere, just a couple of games there, and then he disappears for about 3 months. But that was the first time he's ever played 4 games in a row for Liverpool.
He's
very good at Brentford, I thought. And I know he was a bit... That goal against Luton, you could blame him a little bit, but at least he got his hands to it. But he was a bit unlucky with the way it deflected. But then he was very good against Chelsea. It's like you mentioned Quanta before, which we'll get to him in a bit, but it's like you don't even think twice now about Kelleher being in goal and thinking, oh. And I think if Liverpool are going to win anything else with Alisson out until, as we mentioned the other day, at the very least, earliest April, I think, it's going to be on Kelleher to play as well as he did against Chelsea.
Yep.
Unbelievable save from Cole Palmer, wasn't it? And then a brilliant one from Gallagher in the second half.
I thought the Gallagher at the end, particularly. Because it was so Alisson-esque the way he got down, straight out, in his face, aggressive, and made that chance go away almost as soon as it appeared. So, and that, you know, when you watch that move develop, it just looked like Chelsea had acres of time and space to finish that off, and I thought that was really good.
Yeah, unflappable is a fair word to use. You know, you see him playing the passes right and left foot, don't you? And what I found interesting yesterday was he was clearly instructed. Sometimes you see Alisson playing the balls out to the fullbacks.
Yeah.
A lot of the time he uses the outside of the foot one, doesn't he? But
yeah.
Kelleher was just going along with it, straight down the middle, and they were causing problems. Liverpool were getting in behind occasionally with Elliott and Conor Bradley. That was clearly a tactic that paid off to an extent.
Yeah.
A little bit different to the way Alisson does it. But yeah, he was brilliant. And like you say, though, it's just the continuity of him being in the team every week. He knows he's going to be playing, and you build up your rhythm and momentum. And we've seen that with so many players in the first, outfield this season. It's clearly the same for the keepers.
Yeah. So next one, Conor Bradley. I thought Conor Bradley, now considering he's really caught the eye and scored against Chelsea in the previous game, I thought what I really liked about him was the aggressiveness, yeah, but also the maturity to be moved to after to deal with coming into the team. He's still young, playing in a final, and after move position after, what, half an hour, I thought he did that, and the same goes for Elliot. We'll come to him, and so he did that as well. But I thought he coped with that ever so well, and just showed because Liverpool played so many young players. He's so young, but felt like one of the senior ones, didn't he?
Well, he's got a lot of experience, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, he dealt with Ben Chilwell as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Who thought, well, being the tough man that he isn't, he needed to make a bit of a statement as Chelsea captain and decided to pick on the youngest player on Liverpool's team on the pitch at the time.
Not just sum up Chelsea, though.
You can go down that road, I'm not. But, yeah.
You
can go down it in a minute.
Yeah.
Actually, no, go down it now. No, go on, get going.
Just a lack of characters, isn't it? You know, yeah. They all walked through the mixer and not one of them stopped and fronted up and said, you know, we should have won or whatever. They all hoods up, heads down, walking on, and just kind of waltz through without trying to be seen. And there's just a lack of characters in that dressing room, and that is why they are where they are. A lot of the young players as well, but it's an incredible situation what's happening there, and I don't see it improving anytime soon.
Yeah, I thought they were embarrassing, to be honest. I thought if you're a Chelsea supporter, you would be very, very angry with the way the side played. I mean,
certainly extra time. Yeah.
So extra time was the one, wasn't it? Because when we were going into extra time, I sat there thinking Liverpool are going to do really well to hold on it because they had the young players on the pitch. Chelsea had finished the 90 in a strong fashion, and I thought they'll keep creating chances, and eventually Kelleher can't keep making these saves. They can't keep making these blocks. Yeah. Something will tell. But what Liverpool then did was then just pin them back into the final third again, and then just basically dominated extra time, and just to be so weak in extra time, and for Pochettino to almost admit, yeah, we thought we might have a good chance at penalties. Thinking, how could that be the mindset when you had half an hour against a team who, you know, who's between three players, and that team had probably had about less than five appearances between them. Clark,
they've had a bit more.
McConnell, maybe a bit more, but maybe it's certainly less than 10. Is that fair to say?
So.
To go in with that mindset, I thought was awful, you know. And some of the, you know, Raheem Sterling, I know it's sort of a cheap thing to sort of bat on Raheem Sterling. I think he's been an exceptional player. I thought he was brilliant for Man City, but he was anonymous. And there was one bit in the first half when Chelsea gave the ball away, and he was on the left hand side. He threw his hands up in the air and just shrugged. And you know, I said this on the post match pod, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but you never see that from Liverpool. You know, I can't remember the last time I saw a player at Liverpool pull a face or complain about a misplaced pass or someone being in the wrong position. People just get back and do their jobs. It's a collective willingness to carry out the plan and never, ever waver from that. And I think Chelsea don't even start to do that, whereas Liverpool do it 1,000%.
Yeah, listening to Pep Linders on Friday, and he's talking about the one club mentality and the culture at the club and all that type of stuff. And sometimes it just sounds like it's nice sound bites and it's, you know, a bit idealistic and a bit pie in the sky. But this is what he's on about when he's talking about it, the fact that they can throw in these types of players and nothing changes. They can puff out the chests and go and play in the same way a first teamer does. And okay, there's little bits where rough around the edges and you can tell they're inexperienced and haven't quite yet got the quality of the seniors, but it's just that ethos, isn't it, that runs throughout the club. And couldn't be more of a contrast, really, between Chelsea and Liverpool for all that type of stuff. And that's ultimately where the game is won and lost, I think.
Yeah. I'll let you stick with Konate.
Brilliant again, wasn't he? Yeah, he's developing into getting back to the levels he was at sort of 2 years ago, where Liverpool bought him thinking he was one of the best young defenders in Europe. And what is he, 24 now? Maybe his birthday's in May. But he's been outstanding in the absence of Joe Matip. He's really stepped up and partners Virgil van Dijk every week. And okay, he's kind of the little brother to Van Dijk's seniority and all that type of stuff, but he's excellent. You never think he's going to lose out in a one-on-one duel. He's stronger than everyone. He's quicker than everyone. He's really good on the ball, a little bit underrated on the ball, I think, actually. And just developing at a great, kind of similar. Like I say, like the way he was 2 years ago, he's had probably too many injury issues, hasn't he, in between those periods. But for the last sort of 3-4 months, he's been outstanding. And next to Van Dijk, they are... Have they got the best defensive record in the Premier League? I know they did a few weeks back. But yeah, he was superb.
Yeah, nothing.
You did well now to get sent off, to be honest. Yeah. I can see why he brought off.
He brought him off
because he said, didn't he, at full time, we spotted him saying to him, basically, Klopp, this is saying to Konate, come on, just give us a little bit more, because he was starting to get a little bit tired. And I think that, he did get subbed partly because he was tired, and also because the way that he defends, he's very much on the front foot, isn't he? Yeah. You know, he's a little bit like, I'm going to say Lovren. Lovren was very much like that. Different types of players, but that's what Klopp wants of his defenders. So he's putting himself out there. And also, with the recovery speed that he's got, he was a bit important because it stopped Chelsea getting away too many times on the camera. I mean, they did, because that's just the way that they play. But, he managed to do that. And, couldn't really argue with his performance.
I thought he was superb.
It felt like he was giving Nicholas Jackson more and more yards. And I'll give you 4 yards next time and I'll make it up. And I'll give you 5 next time and I'll make that up. And he was excellent.
I thought he was really good. You gave him a 7, didn't you? And it's the one. There's probably one or two ratings that I sort of go, oh, well, I'll give him maybe
7 because
more.
He made a few fouls.
I
think he was living a little bit close to the edge.
But also, as well, you can take him off now because you've got Kwanzaa.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't bat an eye, do you?
But I thought, Liverpool, they play a very risky style, don't they? And especially against Chelsea, who clearly set up the counter attack, use pace with Sterling, Jackson. And then Mudrick, when he came off the bench, God, he's bad, isn't he, Mudrick?
Someone messaged me about Mudrick. I thought he changed the game. He made him win. That's
a good way of saying it. But yeah, so Chelsea play this, counter-attack. And for Liverpool, they know you've got to win those individual battles. And sometimes it's going to be just a foot race between two. And the amount of times Konate just got back and held someone up, or just got a little toe on it, or just took it off them and brought it forward. He just won all those individual battles. And there aren't many teams that will ask their defenders to do as much as Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah. And, certainly him when he's on the right and Trent's playing. In the
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he does that ever so well. If he can stay fit, that's the thing about Konate. If you can get a full season out of him staying fit, I always find it funny. Everyone talks about Saliba, and I think Saliba is an exceptional player, but you never really hear much conversation about Konate. And I think it's partly because, like you said, he's the little brother to Van Dijk's big, but the wider football world doesn't really talk about him. And I think Liverpool have got one of the best young defenders on the planet.
Let's talk about who he wants.
We know how good he is, but yeah. Okay, Andy Robertson.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hang on, we haven't talked about Virgil van Dijk.
Big Virgil. Well, I gave him 10.
Give him 10
out of 10. Yeah. He was immense both ends of the field. And I think were Chelsea missed Thiago Silva to help cajole their younger players through, I think Liverpool benefited from van Dijk being there. Yeah. And you could kind of just tell, obviously, it's his first major final as the captain. And he didn't want to be the one like, oh, finally got the captain. I'm not saying he wanted a captain, but, I've got the captaincy. I don't want to be the one who loses the final, especially in Klopp's last season. So I think he was pretty much, he did everything he could possibly to get them the win. Scored a perfect good goal, which was disallowed. And then he actually scored an actually good goal, which ended up being the winner. And even then after that, he still managed to find time to do a block with his head, didn't he, from a Chelsea shot, and they all wanted handball, and that wasn't happening. But Van Dijk, you could tell all the way through, he was up for this one.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Brilliant. I almost feel vindicated in Van Dijk this season, because a lot of performances last season, we were hearing about how he was nowhere near as good, and people were just reaching for that easy injury narrative that
they,
was nearly...
They love it, you're finished, don't they?
Yeah, social media like that injury against Everton was nearly 4 years ago now, and people were still trying to pretend that that's the reason he wasn't up to his usual standards. A lot of it was just the fact that Liverpool didn't have a functioning midfield to protect the back four. But this season he's been the outstanding defender in the Premier League, and dare I say it, Europe, and he looks like he was 3-4 years ago. Brilliant.
I actually think you could almost argue he looks a bit better than he did 3 or 4 years ago, because maybe he has to do a bit more work, and maybe he isn't quite as quick, so he's had to sort of change his game a little bit. Arajit, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, said he won all his aerial duels yesterday. That's 5 games in a row.
That is a lot of games in a row.
Unbelievable defender. I mean, Liverpool have been blessed that in this period that they've had players who... I mean, the best in their position that I've ever seen. Van Dijk, I'd say he's the best Liverpool centre-back that I've seen.
Yeah.
Mo Salah out on that right, Alisson Becker, but it's all down to sensible recruitment and all that type of stuff, but they've also all had an element of luck of how good these players have turned out to be, and Van Dijk is just exceptional. He has been all season, he has been from day one, really, hasn't he? And I think he could go on to captain them tomorrow.
Andy Robertson, just a grown-up, just an absolute grown-up in that team.
Brilliant. I mean, he's come back in, hasn't he, after best part of 4 months out with that shoulder injury, and he hasn't really taken too long to get back up to speed. So, yeah, I mean, what can you say of him? An uber professional, can't you? And just on the right side of giving the opposition a little bit of needle that makes him a little bit disliked in certain parts. And
You need a little bit of that,
you know, I think Liverpool are a little bit, you know, bunch of choir boys at times, and he's maybe a little bit of a contrast to that. But he was great yesterday.
I would say he got a little bit tired in the second half, so it's just as well he went off. You could see he was a little bit somebody who hasn't played for quite some time.
Yeah, but Toro Endo, I mean, I think I said in the last pod, he's now the greatest Liverpool player of all time. I'm not budging on that. Just like, I mean, I've said it a few times, just to see him like almost like hunched over at the end with tiredness, like, but still sort of scrapping for every ball and dominating a £200 million plus midfield on his own, pretty much giving Liverpool the platform.
Played through the pain barrier, didn't he? He's done his ankle in a tackle with Caicedo and just played on. You didn't know anything about it until...
Caicedo missed the tackle.
It's a clumsy Caicedo.
There was a period there in the first half where him and Caicedo went up against each other and Endo put him on his backside, and it was a wonderful moment. He's been brilliant, hasn't he? You know, I certainly had reservations when he was coming in. I didn't know too much about him. I'd question what was going on at the time, but, you know, I'll hold my hands up and say I've got that totally wrong. He's been superb last sort of about 3 months.
Also great in the air against the big team like Chelsea, I think.
Yes, he loves the old header, doesn't he? I think once he got up to the intensity of the Premier League and English football, I think you always could see that he could play in terms of on the ball. Even when he was in his first like performances, you could see that he was trying to do all these passes. But now he's doing them while he's in tune with his teammates and they're in tune with him and they know what to expect. And he's got that confidence from the managers to crack on and do what he needs to do, and which is what he's doing.
Quick aside, Mihaly, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, says, when Szoboszlai jumped on Klopp, we were looking at those pictures before, weren't we, Doyle? Yeah. It's like 5 foot in the air despite being out injured. Him and Nunes charging around. Very, very, very good moment. Next one, Alexis McAllister. God, that guy. Can he walk today?
Yeah. Unbelievable player. What a signing he's been already for Liverpool, coming in for a relatively modest sum of £35 million release clause from Brighton. Played out of position all season. Gets on with it. Neat and tidy. Keeps hold of the ball. You're never worried that he's going to give it away. Recycles it so well and just a quality footballer, isn't he?
Yeah.
We're going to enjoy watching him for years at Liverpool. He's still only 25 now, I think. We're speaking on Wednesday after the Luton game about he looks at his World Cup winner's medal and, you know, it's his pride of place and all that type of stuff. And he spoke about...
He'll have his Carabao.
Well, he'll be taking that morning, the winner's medal.
He's got one of these as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I hope so. Are you enjoying it, by the way?
It's good.
Gone straight through my Carabao. I mean, you know, like if they need a Carabao ambassador...
Maybe we can get this, you know, the Blood Red podcast sponsored by Carabao.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe on the cans.
Sponsored by Carabao.
But McAllister was brilliant, Another big step for him.
Yeah, massive, massive yesterday. I mean, he sort of relishes the fight as well now. First, I thought McAllister was going to be sort of a really nice... really nice on the ball.
This is a player who's been in the Premier League for quite a few years now, so he knows what to expect, which is, I mean, they bought two players with him, didn't they? Didn't expect him to be a number six, ended up being it for the best part of 4 or 5 months. Yeah. And now we're actually seeing the player they actually wanted to, you know, bring into the team. So he's revelled in it as well. Again, that's the importance of Endo. He's allowed McAllister to go on and play. And yeah, he was a little bit tired towards the end. There was a bit right near the end, wasn't it, where I can't remember who it was down the Chelsea right, got past it. Yeah, and he just looked at him and went, oh. he just gave up. He literally had nothing left. Yeah. Got subbed immediately afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan Gravenberch, keep it short on him. I mean,
He didn't make the best of starts.
Unfortunate.
He didn't have the time to turn it around.
So let's move on to Harvey Elliott. You saw his old man a few times in the daytime. I'm pretty sure he's very proud, very, very proud today.
Yes, yeah, I'd imagine so. Yeah, he was brilliant, wasn't he? He's just someone who's really grown in seniority this year in this group. You know, still one of the youngest in there, but the fact that he's been a Liverpool player for 5 years now, just past 101 appearances now for Liverpool.
Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant, yeah. Still trying to find the position for him, I think. You know, he's never going to play right wing every week. Probably on the right of that midfield three is where he might be best suited long term, but... Yeah, really stood up, I thought, particularly in the second half when the younger players were coming on. And they're not much younger than him, you know, age-wise, they're maybe a year, 18 months. But in terms of his experience level, he really got them through it and was unlucky with the chance, wasn't he? Some of them thought it was in.
I think he thought that was going in. Not the what's his name, the header at the end as well.
The header was
I think he thought that was
really unlucky. It was a really good header. I'll be honest, there was a time when I doubted Harvey Elliott.
You worried about him.
And Harvey, I'm sorry, I don't doubt you anymore. So I think, again, just to talk maturity, the maturity of him and Bradley, I thought moving around position, like you said, you know, it's difficult because he's not really ever found a permanent position.
Yeah.
But I thought he was playing really, really well. Then he gets moved, and probably for a little spell, he drifts out of it, and then he gets back into it. And you know, the commitment, and he never hides. Always wants the ball. Yeah. Always receives it well. Always finds feet. I think we talked before, and he uses the ball so well. He doesn't give it away much. Yeah, and he's very good in tight spaces as well.
He is. He's just one of these players that, again, because he's only 20, I think he's only 21 next month. We've mentioned this before. He's just only going to get better. And Klopp said Klopp or someone said that he expects him to play like 300, 400, 500 games for Liverpool? And he's someone who
could do.
The new manager, whoever it is that comes in, they're going to get a player there who has got the foundation of having all this experience of playing for such a good team over a number of years, but also in the knowledge that, well, he can now be whatever he wants to be. But apart from goalkeeper, that'd be a bit weird.
Cody Gakpo. Who wants to take Cody Gakpo?
I thought he drifted in and out of the game. Yeah. I was ready for him to step up and say, you know, all these lads are injured, but I'm still here and I'm going to make the difference. But he never quite panned out for him, did it, really? And then when he come off for Danza, I was a bit surprised. I thought Klopp might have just ran him into the ground in the hope that maybe he gets a chance and sticks it away. But it wasn't as great as day, but you can't be too critical after, you know, what happened. So,
agree.
What did you give him? Did I give him a six?
Did I give him a six? Yeah. He got a six. Yeah. He hit the post.
He did hit the post. Decent header as well.
I think it's just one of these ones where... But he probably took an awful lot of pressure off a lot of the other players because he was distracting the centre-backs and, you know, giving the Chelsea players something to think about, which is why Diaz always ended up going one-on-one with... I've forgotten who played the right-back.
Zazi.
Yeah, him.
Zazi, yeah.
It was on Gusto.
No, Gusto
was
right.
Gusto was on the right.
Yeah, Gusto,
Gusto's a weird player. Thought Gusto and Albert Dock's better.
He's absolutely pathetic.
It's not pathetic.
It is pathetic.
Why do you think? Do you think he's better?
No, Gusto's really good. Can we get a free meal, please? Thank
you. I'm struggling to get free Carabao, so never mind free meals. Luis Diaz, I thought again, kind of in the McAllister bracket of, playing to McAllister, sorry, the second bit does, but first bit, one a bit more end product from Luis Diaz sometimes. But my God, I mean, he worked incredibly hard. He's always an outlet. And I just don't think Liverpool could have carried out the game plan like he did without him, because he just, there's a reason why Klopp picks him every game, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking around and you're looking for people to really stand up, aren't you, and be counted in the final, certainly extra time, and he just didn't stop running. He was a constant menace and a threat for them, an outlet for Liverpool at times down the left side. Yeah, I thought he was really good. You know, he ran himself into the ground, and it'd be no surprise if you hear something on that front just because of how hard he worked. But yeah, really good. I think I might have given him an 8 if I was on rating shooty. It was funny watching him walk out of Wembley, actually. It was like he was just having a Sunday stroll and he hadn't played 120 minutes. He walked out, winner's medal around his neck, just eating an apple, cool as you like, got on the team bus and got off. It was just so cool. But yeah, thought he was one of Liverpool's best on the day.
He had to play anyway because his dad had got a ticket and he was watching.
Yeah, did he have his gloves on?
I didn't see him, but I did see that he was drinking daiquiris on the way home, wasn't he, on the train, which is great.
Why not?
Yeah, yeah. I'll let you take the next one because I want you to take Bobby Clark or Joe Gomez.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said on Friday that you can make a case for Joe Gomez being Liverpool's player of the season, and I still wouldn't pick him for the starting 11 for the cup final. Thought he was really good when he come on. You know what you're getting now to Gomez. He's got that rhythm that we spoke about earlier on, and the momentum where he's in form. He knows what he's doing, whether he's playing left back, centre back, or right back. And he's been absolutely superb. I was worried last summer. I thought maybe this is the time where, you know, Liverpool have passed him by a little bit, and it might be time to maybe drop down a little bit further in the Premier League, and you can play every week as a centre back. But he's been excellent, certainly since he got put into the left back position when Tsimikas got injured against Arsenal. That was mid December, and you know he filled that role superbly. Just the ultimate utility man, isn't he? And we had the chance to speak to him after the game, and he was so proud of what the fans did. He said the fans really got them through it, and they're very appreciative of what the fans did on the day. And these types of games, that the fact that he can win it all comes from the manager and his handling of his man management, essentially, to get these young players through it. And yeah, he's been a top player this season.
I thought he struggled when he first came on, because obviously he was thrown into it, wasn't expecting it. I thought there was bits in the second half where he would have had a bit of a struggle, but I thought in extra time he was excellent.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Anything else on Joey Goey before?
Joey Goey? That's catching on. Yeah.
I'll let you take away with Bobby Clark, seeing as you've been banging the Bobby Clark drum.
I have. Well, anybody who's seen him play would do exactly the same thing. I think what I quite like about him, in the nicest way, is that he just doesn't care. By which I mean is that he just walked on there, and he may as well have been anywhere that he was playing. He just wasn't fussed about it, which meant that he was just knocking players over. He was just like going in, making tackles. He was doing these passes. I think it helped that a lot of the youngsters came on. I mean, he came on earlier, but I think it helped that for the most part of that, you know, in all extra time, and for the most part that Clark was on, there was a lot of other youngsters on there, so they can't. It wasn't just like one by themselves.
Yeah.
There was several of them there, so they were thinking, great, right. So they could
build.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And they could build a kind of like, they weren't stepping into something that's completely unknown. And I'll go back to what we were saying before about the fact they've been training with them for months and months. And in Bobby Clark's case, he made his debut about 14, 15, 16 months ago now, didn't he? And he would have played a lot more in the first half of this season if he hadn't picked up the injury. And I think people are seeing that now because Klopp's played him, as mentioned before, in the FA Cup, bring him on at Arsenal. He played, what was it, 45 minutes roundabout against Chelsea in the final yesterday. I just think you look at some of the other former professionals and they'll have watched that game and gone, he's good. Irrespective of the fact that his dad obviously used to play for Newcastle and Sunderland, I think on England Cup as well, didn't he? So he's of good stock.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's going to be, this time next year, he'll have played quite a lot of games for Liverpool, I reckon.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
You mentioned about his kind of audacity and his, you know, he wasn't overawed by the occasion. There was a period there, it might have been in the extra time, where the ball comes to him and he drops the shoulder and tries to turn away from Caicedo and didn't come off. Caicedo got back and got a good tackle in. But the fact that he was willing to try it against a midfielder who's cost whatever he cost, but it's his transfer record, and he wasn't bothered, he wasn't fussed.
Well, that's the thing, is that one thing...
Finally, he'll give it a go anyway, and didn't quite come off, but...
Once the players get... I think people sometimes forget, once the players are out on the pitch, they're not looking at each other and going, they haven't got the price tag on the back of those shirts, have they? It's just, oh, that's my opponent, so that's the person I'm dueling with. And I think... He reminds me of Gerrard. I hate to say this. I'm going to drop the Gerrard bomb.
Can we clip this?
You know, he reminds me of Steven Gerrard in the sense that, as I said before, he just, it doesn't matter to him once he's out on the pitch. You know, whatever he's been thinking before, and he might have been nervous, and why wouldn't you be nervous if you're getting thrown onto a final and you're only 18, 19? Excuse you. Bless you, even.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
You see, you've ruined this clip now. I'm going to use this now.
I'm saving you. I'm throwing some pepper in the air or something like that to save
So he reminds me of Gerrard in that respect, that he just, reputations, he was not bothered about. Yeah. He just knew what he can do, and he wanted the chance to show it, and he was desperate to show it, and he did show it, and that's why he's going to be playing quite a lot next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Kostas Tsimikas. I thought Kostas Tsimikas was brilliant when he came on. I think he kept Chelsea pinned in. He kept intercepting balls. He kept winning headers, and obviously swung in the corner for the winner. But just all in all, was just like. It felt like he was a massive unit. I never thought he was like a big, strong player, but I don't know, he seemed to dominate Chelsea, I thought.
Yeah, when Madueke came on, I was a bit worried because I thought Liverpool are tiring and this is a young, tricky winger who's actually been decent whenever I've seen him. But Tsimikas didn't really give him an inch, and there was one where he tried to take him on, Tsimikas slides in, wins the ball and wins a goal kick from it, and it was just a really good bit of defending that eased the pressure on Liverpool, and then, of course, he swings in the corner that wins them the game. He loves it that end, doesn't he? At Wembley, that was where he scored the penalty that won them the FA Cup. But I think Liverpool were fortunate in that they didn't have a lot on the bench, but the players who they did have that were able to come on were just really solid, dependable squad members, weren't they? The likes of Gomez and Tsimikas and now Kwanzaa to an extent. You know, you don't really blink twice when he's in the team, and that really helped get Liverpool through from a defensive perspective in the final sort of, well, certainly extra time and maybe the last 15.
Loves the big games, does Kostas. Loves the big games. Yeah. So he's a big game player.
Yeah. Two more before we start thinking about wrapping this up. James McConnell.
Honestly, when he walked past me, I couldn't believe how young he looks in the face. I said to Neil Jones, I said, he looks like he should be in the under-14s. Never mind playing with a League Cup final, let's say. Thought he was really good. He was good against Norwich, wasn't he, in the FA Cup? You got a little bit of a glimpse to see what he was all about there in terms of snapping into tackles, but good on the ball as well. He played a nice ball out to Elliott I get mixed up with all the extra times now, but it was out to the right flank with a nice ball with his left foot, I think, and he took his yellow card really well.
I don't think
too many in the Liverpool squad would do that.
Yeah,
Bobby Clark did at Arsenal.
Yeah, and Cole Palmer got away from him, didn't he? He thought, nah, you're coming back. Yellow card, take that all day.
You can tell he's been a leader at youth level. Mm. That makes sense. You know, you think...
Come from Sunderland, did he?
Yeah.
It was clever, that, wasn't it? You know, he knew that they got the wrong side of him, and I think players in that position should get a lot of yellow cards.
And of course, anybody who's seen him play quite a lot will know that where he was playing against Chelsea when he came on as one of the number eights, that's his actual position. He's been playing, when he's been playing for the first team and he's had minutes, he is defensive midfielder, because he was thrown into that, wasn't he, in the summer when there was literally nobody there because everybody had left. So he'd have enjoyed that, because he'd have gone like, this is actually what I can do. And you saw, I think, was there some stat that... on the time he was on the pitch, nobody made more key passes and all that kind of stuff. There was a lengthy list that I've completely forgotten.
There's a great list
that you've also lost.
I did have it open before. Have I still got it open? Yeah, I've got it open. So, ranks amongst the substitutes versus Chelsea is from Sky Sports. Passes first, 34. Final third passes first, 15. Passing accuracy second, 87%. And touches second, 47. I mean, I think it speaks as well to the domination Liverpool had in that.
Well, he was part of it. Yeah, he was part of it. The reason that they did dominate is because there was him and there was Bobby Clark, and we'll get on to who's the next person.
The final person is Jadon Dans.
Yes, they were weirdly, they looked absolutely terrified of him every time the ball went anywhere near him, because he's one of these players who, what you want as a striker, he knows where the goal is. He just absolutely loves having shots.
Wiry, isn't he?
Exactly, yeah. He's big, he's strong.
He had a shot almost 30 seconds after coming on.
Yeah. But he made that himself. Yeah. Because he'd come from there. People thought he was offside. He'd come from that position, gets the ball, turns, shimmies inside, chips it onto his right foot as a shot. Yeah. Even the header that he had where the keeper saved, he didn't really have much right to actually get to that, did he? But he got there because he just, you know, we mentioned about Jota quite a few times in the podcast now, how much he loves scoring. And I think Downs is exactly the same. If you're a striker, that's the one thing you want more than anything else. Well, along with the sense of direction and skill to play football.
Right, well, very quickly, because a few people are asking about injuries, and we did say that we would look at who's going to get play against Southampton. I mean, I'm very much up for putting the under-9s out and let them have a go.
Yeah, yeah. How can you do that in the best
in the world,
best domestic cup competition in the world?
It's not so much like playing a weakened side, is it? It's playing the best side of any at the moment. And with Liverpool at the moment, I just feel confident that whoever they put out, they will stand a good chance. But who do you think will end up being?
Yeah, I mean, look, if Liverpool had... Even if they only had half the injury crisis, you can make a case for them going for it. But I just think there's too much at stake in the league for them to risk any more issues. You know, certainly with Gravenberch and Endo, who are going to be injuries number 12 and 13, aren't they? So, I mean, do you think Adrian will play in goal?
I mean, I think Joe wants him in goal, don't you?
Yes.
I think Keller's staying in goal. Keller's staying in goal.
I just don't think...
Keller's staying in goal. Keller's staying in goal because it's not like an outfield player, is it?
No, of course
it's not. It's not like an outfield player.
I don't know what the way Liverpool's luck is at the moment.
He could get injured in training. Adrian did a really, really nice post, didn't he, on social media today, where he explained why this was such a great victory for Liverpool. And he's an important part of the squad. I know there's some fans don't understand that, because it's not just about the players who play. As we've seen from the past couple of weeks, it's also about the players who aren't playing. And I think Adrian's one of them, and he's still going to remain one of them. He's not playing.
So he's not playing. Okay, so we're not really going to go and pick a team, are we?
Let's pick a team. But we've talked about this on the way. The back four will be right back with Bradley. Because I think he didn't play the full 90, let alone 120.
Yeah,
Quanta, Gomez will play at centre back, and left back will be Simicast. So there's the back four. They'd be quite happy with that.
Is Isaac Mbeya fit?
Don't think he's any. I don't think so.
No. Well, I'd have stuck him at right back if he was. I guess that'll have to be the back four, won't it?
All right. Doyle, you're leading this charge, so pick the midfield.
Well, McConnell will play at the defensive midfielder. Yeah. Bobby Clark will definitely play. And now I actually think Szoboszlai will be back, and I'll play him. They've got to come back at some point.
He's got to come back at some point.
And if he's celebrating like that, he can't be far off being available. So, yeah, get him in the team.
True. Front three then? I mean, any qualms with that midfield, Ghosty?
Yeah, I wouldn't play Szoboszlai. Trying to think of anyone who can play in his place.
That's the problem.
I'll take my boots down to Anfield if I have to play it.
Isn't that being disrespectful, though, to the other players?
What other players?
But listen, my point is just disrespectful. You can't. Why would you not play Szoboszlai if he's fit?
Because he doesn't want to get.
I just think it's too much at stake.
It's an FA Cup game. It's a trophy. They've just loved that.
And I'm Liverpool on top of the Premier League at the moment, and it's opened up, hasn't it? They can't afford any more injuries. They just can't.
They've got more chance of winning the FA Cup than they have the Premier League.
They've got more chance. Yeah, but
what would you rather win, though?
What would you rather win? Yeah.
Both of them.
I mean, for one side, my your optimism, but I can't help you. You're just playing devil's advocate.
I'm genuinely with Blaise Szoboszlai.
Well, up front, Gakpo again.
This is where it gets a bit, bit funky, shall we say?
You can't play Diaz.
You can't play Diaz, but you can't play all three of them. I think you're playing Gakpo. He's definitely playing. Gakpo definitely plays. Would you play Jadon Downs?
Yeah.
Wouldn't
have any hesitation. I'd play unless Kone Doherty if he's
the only fit. Thing he might do is he might say to Harvey Elliott, you play 45. He's done this in the FA Cup previously. They played certain months. I said in the Europa League this season, there may be a number of players who just play 45 and that's it. Or they do a swap because they don't want to, you know, get too many minutes under the belt. Especially as this could go to extra time penalties as well if it's a draw. And I think people are forgetting that. Sorry. Would you just maybe it's 1-1 with like 1 minute to go, just run on and just put it at the nearest goal?
File a ball.
So, yeah. I mean, they do have options. As I said, I think... But Kay Gordon wasn't on the bench, and he's the one who's got a bit of experience. So whether or not he could come in and play on the right...
Really, he'd have played lower, didn't he?
Yeah. So you've got... I reckon he might play Kay Gordon. Well, okay, let's put it this way. I'd play Kay Gordon. You'd play Gakpo. And then... don't know, tough one. Diaz, would you fancy it again? Again, it depends on how close are Nunes and Salah, because we don't know that.
Yeah.
And if they're close enough to play on Saturday, then you do play Diaz, because then you know he's not going to be playing on Saturday.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. Right.
We didn't really pick the team there, did we?
Well, we kind of picked the team of sorts. Before we go, very quickly, moment of yesterday. Kind of dead space moment of yesterday. You're drinking
Carabao. Okay, Kenny Dalglish having an embrace with Mrs. Jürgen Klopp. You know, they're both close off the field. Both a good friend.
Are they playing one tonight?
The Dalglishes and the Klopps have become really close, haven't they, Jordan? The 9 years on Mayside side, and just seeing them kind of catch each other's eye and then have a nice little embrace, that was a big moment. And obviously, that was preceded by Klopp and Dalglish, wasn't it, in the tunnel? That was a nice moment.
Yeah. Nunes Galloping is getting a lot of, getting some love on the comments. Moment for me was the LA. Extra time bit, which just kind of like summed up the two clubs, summed up the attitude, summed up everything about the game. And I just thought it was just incredible. Really good moment.
I think my favourite moment might be that clip, you know, the clip that's knocking around with the fan who's videoing it when the goal goes in and they put the Rocky music to it. But the actual bit in that, and I mentioned this to you before, is where when the ball goes in the net, Klopp's actually stood in the technical area with Pochettino's one side and he goes off camera. And Klopp's just stood there with his arms out by himself and he's just like this. And it's like a mixture of, hooray, we've scored, and I cannot believe we've just scored. Yeah, you know, it's one of these, like, you could tell he just couldn't believe it, but was also really, really happy with it.
And then he
went off and did the old, you know, putting his hand to his ear. I get that right.
And the fist bumps to his players.
Was good.
Rather than the fans, that was pointed, wasn't it?
Unless he was offering to knock them all out.
Perhaps.
So they couldn't play against Southampton.
But there was incredible moments, really. We've done loads and loads of them on the website, so... Yeah, fill your boots. But
I think our producer's flagging a little bit, so we should wrap this up.
Yeah, we should. Before we go, we do have a standalone. We've done 40 pages of these guys' best content. Actually, I've got a piece in there as well.
Have you? Nice.
Yeah.
Have you so to be 40 pages.
It's on the 41st page.
You've got a big double page.
It's just on that. Yeah. What's your favourite Carabao?
Have a look at our website. We'll go on Reach Sports Shop. Just search Reach Sports Shop and have a little look for the Carabao Cup souvenir edition. It's available worldwide and you can pre-order it now. So please do. Please give us a like. Please give us a subscribe. Please
press the bell.
Stand by for us to come back on Friday to talk Southampton, the other cup competition that some people care about, and look ahead to the Nottingham Forest game, which is getting bigger and bigger all the time. See you then. Ta-ra.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.